Translation, the great sage Narada said, simply by the influence of his spiritual advancement and powerful austerity, Dhruva Maharaj, the son of Suniti, who was devoted to her husband, acquired an exalted position not possible to attain even for the so-called Vedantists or strict followers of the Vedic principles, not to speak of ordinary human beings. Purport. In this verse, the word Veda Vadinaha is very significant. Generally, a person who strictly follows the Vedic principles is called Vedavadi. There are also so-called Vedantists who advertise themselves as followers of Vedanta philosophy, but who misinterpret Vedanta. The expression Vedavadarataha is also found in the Bhagavad Gita, referring to persons who are attached to the Vedas without understanding the purport of the Vedas. Such persons may go on talking about the Vedas or may execute austerities in their own way, but it is not possible for them to attain to such an exalted position as Dhruva Maharaj. As far as ordinary kings are concerned, it is not at all possible. The specific mention of kings is significant because formerly kings were also Rajarshis, for the kings were as good as great sages. Dhruva Maharaj was a king, and at the same time he was as learned as a great sage. But without devotional service, neither a great king, a kshatriya, nor a great brahmana strictly adhering to the Vedic principles can be elevated to the exalted position attained by Dhruva Maharaj. So of the several words in this verse, Srila Prabhupada has selected to speak on the word Vedavadinaha, which means one who speaks the Vedas or who adheres to the understanding of the Vedas. So not these, it's not a bad term. In and of itself, it's not a bad term, but it's used, Veda Vadi, or the word Vadi is often used to indicate someone who speaks about something but doesn't really understand it, or is a hypocrite and talks something but doesn't follow it. So both of them are, in both cases, they're speaking. It will usually be something speaking something laudable, but either their understanding or their actions are illaudable. So this is used right here in the Bhagavatam, Vyasadeva. This sarcastic usage to Srila Prabhupada gives some examples of who could be called Vedavadis. Well, he says one who strictly follows the Vedic principles is called a Vedavadi. Then he goes on toward the end of the purport to mention that without devotional service, neither a great king, a kshatriya, nor a great brahmana strictly adhering to the Vedic principles can be elevated to the exalted position attained by Dhruva Maharaj. So although a great king, a kshatriya, or a great brahmana, they may be a Vedavadi, strictly following the principles of the Vedas, or strictly following certain instructions of the Vedas, because they didn't understand or accept the actual principle of the Vedas, the most important principle, which is to understand Krishna, Vedaishya Sarvaraham Eva Vedyaha. Krishna is the object of knowledge in the Veda. Therefore, they miss the point. Whereas they don't get the same result as Dhruva Maharaj, who very quickly without following a prolonged process, which is the usual process of following the Vedas, a prolonged process over many lifetimes, without going through that, Dhruva Maharaj very quickly came to the point of pure devotional service and attained the perfection of life of going back to Godhead. And there are examples given in Bhagavatam of devotees who even more quickly than Dhruva Maharaj attained perfection. Dhruva Maharaj attained perfection in 6 months. But we have the example of Ajamil, who was a long way from perfection, but who, simply by chanting the name Narayana once, actually not even with full devotion, but because by chanting that name, which wasn't intended as an act of bhakti, it wasn't intended actually to call the real Narayana at all, it was simply intended to call his son. But at that time, by calling out the name Narayana, he remembered in a flash his previous devotional service, and that was enough to save, or to invoke the mercy of Narayana to save him from the companionship, or to be saved by, taken away by the Yamadutas, and then he had another chance and he became perfect in devotional service very quickly and went back to Godhead. And even more striking example or apt example is that of Katvanga Maharaj, who was a great devotee of the Lord and was fighting on behalf of the demigods against the demons. This fight is always going on in one form or the other. Intergalactic war. It's not just something in the movies, but it's going on. The devas are always fighting the asuras. So Katvanga Maharaj, although he wasn't a deva, he was only a human being, but he was so powerful that the demigods enlisted him in their army, and he was actually a great hero fighting for the demigods. And when the battles, or particular phase of battles, were over, the demigods were very pleased, so they offered him a benediction. And being very intelligent, which means spiritually intelligent, Katvanga Maharaj, he simply asked, well, just let me know how much time I've got left to live. Possibly he was, you know, I've been fighting a long time, so maybe I don't have much time yet, so it's maybe time to retire and chant Hare Krishna. So they said, well, actually you only have a muhurta left, which means a moment. Or it can mean a little longer than that also, but a short time. So he immediately came down to earth, considering it a better place for spiritual advancement than the heavenly planets, and fixed his mind on Bhagavan, Hari, Narayana, and went back to Godhead. So, presumably, as a pious king, he had, Maharaj Katvanga had followed Vedic principles, but that wasn't the cause of him going back to Godhead. It was because Ante Narayana Smritihi. At the time of death, he remembered Narayana. And if we don't remember Narayana at the time of death, then whatever else we do, whatever else we may have done at the time of death, whatever else we may have done throughout our life, that won't count for nearly as much as, it won't render the same effect as if we do remember Narayana at the time of death. Therefore, it is said, Aradhito yadi haris tapasa tata kim Naradhito yadi haris tapasa tata kim antabahish. Anyway, the third line I forgot, but it gives the same purport anyway. That if we worship Hari, then what's the point of performing austerities? And by saying austerities, that means, well, anything else. If we worship Hari, then there's no need to do anything else. There's no need to, outside the worship of Hari, perform austerities or go on pilgrimage or worship anyone or do anything. On the other hand, if we don't worship Hari, Naradita Yadi Hari, then what's the use of performing austerities and going on pilgrimage and all these other things? So either way you look at it, Everything else is pretty useless. Yeah, then antabahir yadi haristapasatata kim nantabahir yadi haristapasatata kim. Then the same. If one inside and outside always sees Bhagavan Hari, then what's the use of performing austerities, etc.? And if one does perform, if one doesn't see him outside and inside, then what's the use of performing all austerities? In other words, in this verse, which is from Narada Pancharatra, the verse I just quoted, and the verse that's being read today from Bhagavatam is also spoke by Narada. The point is that we should perform devotional service, and the Vedic injunctions, following all that, is in another verse of the Bhagavatam, as it's stated, dharmasvanashtita pungsa vishvaksena tatasu yaha nodpadiyad yadiratim shrama eva hikivala. Who knows the translation of this verse? Have a little quiz here, keep everyone awake, we hope. What's the translation of the verse I just quoted? Does anyone know it? Anyone? Yeah. Yeah, well, it's actually put round the other way, but it comes to the same point, that even if we do follow our dharma, one is following, which means varnashram dharma, within varnashram dharma, one has to follow his duties of being a brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra, or stri dharma, woman, assisting her husband, as it's stated in this verse, pati devata. The stri dharma is to consider her husband or treat her husband as a god. So one may follow all these things very nicely, but if one does not, in the course of doing so, attain rati or strong attachment, if that does not arise within one's heart, strong attachment to Hari, then the conclusion is that it's all, you can say, I worked hard, but you didn't get any result. So who would do that? Why would anyone work hard and not get anything from it? Everyone does something with the aim of getting a result. We've heard the term Nishkam karma. It's a much misunderstood term. Because to work, it means desireless work. But work produces some result, either sukritya or dushkritya, either pious activity or sinful activity. Everything that one does produces a result. So when it's said that one shouldn't be attached to the result, or one should not desire the result, that doesn't mean that one should be totally neutral, but rather one should offer the result to Krishna. That's the point. That's the real point. Otherwise, it's mindless and meaningless to do work without, and you don't care what the result is. You should care what the result is, but we should offer the result to Krishna. So that's the point, that varnashram, or in the modern age there's no varnashram, what to speak, except in marriage, at least in this generation, still most people in Hindu society are concerned that their sons and daughters get married within the same caste, and there's not much more to it than that. Probably in one generation, there won't be any consideration of caste either. But previously, when we were talking here about Vedavadi, means following the Vedic principles, well, it specifically means, actually there's no question of following the Vedic principles without following Varnashram. We see that these certain societies, or Hindu societies, as they are known, they organize yagyas, what they call Ashvamedha yagyas, or this and that. But actually, and from various perspectives, it's all meaningless. One of those perspectives is that you can't have an Ashvamedha yagya without a king. And you need real brahmanas and kshatriyas and vaishyas and shudras. They're all required. There's no question of an Ashvamedha yagya or any such yagya unless people are following their vanashram duties. But in the modern age, that's broken down, that whole system. So this, the import of the verse which we're reading today, which Narada Muni spoke in praise of his disciple, that's even more pertinent, or it's absolutely pertinent, it's always pertinent, but especially in Kali Yuga, where there is no following the Vedic principles in the modern age, not in the way that it was done before. I mean, a few people may still be proud of being Brahmins and all this kind of thing, and they may even be following their Brahminical culture nicely to some degree. There are very few of them, but there are still some Brahmanas who follow the Vedic principles. They impart the Veda, whichever Veda they are followers of, to their sons, and they try and do everything according to the old system. But you can't, even if you want to and you try to, it's not possible. I mean, you can't actually be a Brahmana in the true sense unless there are also true Kshatriyas. One should be under a king, unless there are pious people to accept donations from, then you can't be a real Brahmana, because you're a Brahmana, he accepts. Of course, the Brahmanas, they may also not accept donations at all, just like Shilonchana Vritti. They simply collect grains from the which have already fallen down from the field. But even that, they wouldn't be allowed to do nowadays, probably. And who's going to do that? So the Vedic system is broken down to a large extent. But bhakti, because bhakti is independent of the Varnashram principles, therefore, even in Kali Yuga, when the Varnashram principles are broken down, one can still perform bhakti. Now, herein the Vedavada is being condemned, or the ritualistic adherence to Vedic principles without understanding its purpose. But on the other hand, when Lord Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, dharma sansthapanathaya sambhavami yuge yuge, I appear in every, or I manifest myself in every age, to re-establish dharma. So that doesn't only mean bhakti dharma, but that also means varnashram dharma. He comes to protect the devotee, he comes to protect the demigods. Indrari viyakalam lokam mrityanti yuge yuge. That's also stated in Bhagavata, that Bhagavan comes in every age to protect the demigods from their enemies. So, and Lord Krishna himself states in Bhagavad Gita, Chatur Vanyam Maya Srishtam, I created this system. So it's not that the Vedic system is totally and in all respects rejected, but it's just pointing out that in and of itself it is not the goal of life. It cannot, or without the touch of devotional service, it doesn't give the effect that it's actually meant for. Bhagavan established the Varnashram system. His aim in doing so is not to make proud brahmanas or rowdy kshatriyas or greedy vaishyas. That's not his purpose. And his purpose is not even to make pious brahmanas and or pious kings or pious vaishyas unless they have bhakti to him. That's the point. But because people are a long way away from bhakti, therefore the varnashram system is required as a stepping stone to bhakti and to help prevent people from falling into gross degradation. But inevitably, not understanding that, people, they misunderstand it, and then they propagate a misunderstanding of varnashram, and they come up with various theories about what the goal of the Vedas is, and when they come up with various theories, they inevitably get it wrong. So that tendency to misinterpret and malinterpret is there among the conditioned souls, because after all, we're all here because we forgot Krishna. Krishna bhuli se jivan adi bahimukh atev maya tare deya samsara duk. We're suffering here because we forgot Krishna, and we've been doing that for a long time, anadi, unlimited time practically, and therefore since time immemorial we've been inimical to Krishna, and because of that maya gives us various miseries in this material world. But everyone in this material world is so foolish, that's the result of maya, which means that which is not, that we take the suffering of the material world to be happiness. Or we think that, well, the material suffering is just something to be avoided, and we'll enjoy ourselves here in this world. And the Veda Vadis that are described here are persons who, they're very ambitious, but in a material way, that we will follow the Vedic principles, and this, you know, this earth, it's not so much fun, but we'll go to heaven and enjoy there. But their goal is described in Bhagavad Gita by Lord Krishna, Taitam Bhuktva Swargalokam Vishalam Kshine Punye Marchalokam Vishanti Evam Chai Dharma Manupapana Gatagatam Kama Kama Labhante. That these persons who think, well, I'm very smart, I'm going to follow the Vedic principles and go to heaven, so, well, they can go to heaven. They do go to heaven if they follow the principles. But what happens is that after some time they have to come back again when their stock of pious credits is worn out. And then they think, well, all right, we have to come back. But when we come back, we'll do more pious activities and then we'll go up there again. So like this, they go up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, following the Vedic path. Chai dharma means following. Chai means the three Vedas, namely Rig, Sama, and Yajur. So by following these three Vedas, they go up, and after some time they come down, and they go up again, and they go down, and they go up, and they go down, and they go, okay, sorry, I have to spend a little time working here, and then we go up again and enjoy. But what happens, what can happen in the middle is there's some mistake, and then they go up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, 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 down. That also happens. It's quite possible. Because the material world is contaminated. Where we have a... Please take the feedback off the floor. In the material world, we have a contaminated consciousness. And that contaminated consciousness is one of enjoying separately from Krishna. And that envy of Krishna expands into envy of others. And therefore, we may be overcome by pride or greed. And in this way, astray from the Vedic path. It's happened many times. We have the story of Indra who offended his guru, for which he had to fall down. So then Nahush, a pious king, came in, who was as a replacement, Indra. And then he also offended the brahmanas, and he had to fall down. So it's not recommended. This Vedic, so-called Vedic path is not recommended. And even if we do go even beyond the position of Indra to Brahma, then what is the nature of this material world that is described by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita? A Brahma Bhuvanaloka Punaravartino Jana. It's a place where we're coming and going, even up to the planet of Lord Brahma. Therefore, the conclusion, as taught by Narad Muni, as taught by Srila Prabhupada, who's in the disciplic succession of Narad Muni, and anyone who's fortunate enough to get this knowledge, Vedyam Vastavam, Srimad Bhagavatam, the actual knowledge of the Vedas, then they can understand that the Vedic principles, which are good, relatively speaking, compared to anything else in this world, they are not in and of themselves the goal of life. They are a stepping stone toward the goal of life, which is sarvadhaman parityaja mame kam sharanam vraja, fully surrendering to Krishna. But without understanding this, our following of Vedic principles is improper, incomplete, and not able to award us the actual goal of life, which is pure love of Krishna. So this is spoken by Narad Muni, who compiled the book, the Narada Pancharatra, which gives the essence of all the Vedas. Srimad Bhagavatam also gives the essence of all the Vedas, which is to surrender to Krishna. And that's the purport of Narad Muni's instruction here. It's also interesting to note that Narad Muni is glorifying his disciple. He is very pleased with his disciple for attaining the goal of life. So we should take encouragement from this, that we can also act in such a way that we can please our guru. And how can we please our guru? By pleasing Krishna. How can we please Krishna? By pleasing our guru. The two things go together. Once Srila Prabhupada was asked by one of his disciples, what pleases you the most? And Srila Prabhupada replied, he was asked this question or a similar question on more than once, but on this particular occasion that I'm referring to, Srila Prabhupada said, if you love Krishna. And how we get love of Krishna? Yasya prasada, bhagavat prasado, yasya prasada nagati kato. By the mercy of the bona fide spiritual master, we get the mercy of Krishna. On the other hand, whatever else we may do, if we displease him, then we are in the position described by Narad Muni of those who are nagati katopi, those who are not following in the footsteps of Dhruva Maharaj, then we don't attain the actual goal. So Hare Krishna, all glories to Narad Muni, all glories to Dhruva Maharaj, and if there are any questions about this, please ask now. Okay, please. Oh, you got the mic, I guess. All right. Yes. That's your advantage.
You were mentioning that this king, because of his lady, because he made a place like Katwanga. So, but he actually remembered at the time of death. So, but we, so we are practice regularly remember at the time of death.
Yeah, well, it's not stated that he hadn't practiced bhakti, but for quite some time he'd been busy fighting, so probably he wasn't following a very regulated devotional life. I mean, it's possible he was, but generally in a fighting situation, you won't get much time for bhakti, for chanting and this and that, chanting in a regulated way. Yeah. So? then please press the knife back. Back and back and back. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna, of course, told Arjuna, Ma manusmara yudhyacha. Think of me, that's the first most important thing you have to do, but fight also. Yeah, so, question from back here.
Maharaj, you may see the Rajasis were ruling the world according to the scriptures, and the Guru system, Guru Sisha system, Prabhupada system has been ruling the world. But nowadays, the education being prevailing the whole world based on British people.
Based on British people?
Yes, British rule for the world.
Well, it's you can say that the most prevalent system of education in the world, or the ideals presented through the, or lack of ideals presented through the educational system, are based on Western, what is called liberal outlook. That's a broad statement we could make. Yes.
How to overcome from that
Agyan
Samraj?
How to overcome from the
Agyan
Samraj?
Which is really
the empire of ignorance. Well, read Srila Prabhupada's books, follow the process of bhakti, and listen to what Prabhupada says. Prabhupada is very strongly against, and not just strongly, but with all good reasoning and understanding, against the educational system which converts people into shudras by mentality, even in terms of occupation. Yeah, so do that. Read Srila Prabhupada's books. Srila Prabhupada had very strong words. He compared the modern education institutions to slaughterhouses. So they may say, well, I'm sending my children to a very prestigious school. So you say, well, I'm getting my children slaughtered at a very prestigious slaughterhouse. You see, it's they have air-conditioned slaughterhouse. Yeah. Difficult to follow. It's not exactly the correct word. It's not possible to follow Varnashram according to the pristine system. Yeah, you know, it's people, even if it's, you know, if the temperature drops by 1 or 2 degrees, they can't imagine even not taking a hot water bath. So, you know. To institute Varnashram, well, Srila Prabhupada said that, as far as possible. What is the meaning of as far as possible? Well, it will be different in different circumstances and among different people. I doubt if ever throughout the whole world there was like an absolutely uniform system of Varnashram. Because it's a system for organizing people, and people are different. So there will be differences. But as far as possible, the basic principles should be instituted for the benefit of human society. Those are the words that Srila Prabhupada used. Any other question or comment, please? All right. Well, Hare Krishna.